Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 17th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is indeed hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America, as our guide in doing so. We believe the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the Founding Fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And ladies and gentlemen, it's all about restoration, not revolution, restoration. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't need an Article 5 convention to let some modern-day bureaucrats rewrite the Constitution. That's psychotic. We don't need to secede from the Union and break up the greatest country on the face of the earth, the country that's set up, in my humble view, to welcome Jesus Christ when he returns. Okay, what we need to do is apply pure application of the principles that made America great and do it again. Don't you get it? It's the greatest time-tested experiment ever known to man. Couple of hundred years it's been successful. Is it perfect? No, we the people aren't perfect. But we must claim the moral high ground. And we must restore the republic peacefully in the traditions of our founding fathers. And there's no stopping us if we're a moral people. There's no stopping us if we turn to God Almighty. And there's no stopping us if we use the formula the founders found. They worked hard to discover the solution. They called it a grand experiment. It was successful. Well, this is Constitution Day, September 17th, in the year of our Lord, 2021. We celebrate and honor the founding fathers, their commitment to liberty, putting everything on the altar. We ought to take heed and do the same. But we celebrate. What was it, September 17th, 1787? There's a lot of sevens in there. No wonder if that's biblical. Yes, it is. I don't wonder. I just make that kind of joke a little bit. And biblical is all get out about, you know what, the greatest country on the face of the earth. And that's really what we want to celebrate today with Dr. Scott Bradley, co-host. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, and a happy Constitution Day to you, sir.
Well, thank you very much. 234 years young today, and it's gone over a bumpy road, and it's getting bumpier, and we've got to do everything we can to restore the foundation, because therein lies the safety we had. It brought us to be the greatest, freest, strongest, most happy, most respected, and most prosperous nation on earth. This nation, all other nations, stood in awe of this nation until we lost our bearings and abandoned the principles that it was founded on. Whether it's war or whether it's the way we spend our money or allow individuals to prosper in peace in a free trade country that from border to border, everybody could become what God ordained them to become, anything they sought to do in righteousness. And man alive, have we abandoned that largely.
Amen.
Sadly.
And at the core of that discussion is we've jettisoned the moral high ground, which is saying that, you know what, God is the author of our liberty. God is the one whom we obey. It is God's laws that we base our governing values on. We've lost our moral compass. We've turned our back on Almighty God, and we look to government, to leaders, to the arm of flesh for solutions, and that's our great error, Doctor.
Well, what we've done is adopted unconstitutionally, and you say, oh, everything is unconstitutional to you, Bradley. Well, if it does violate the Constitution, it is unconstitutional, and if you look at the entire concept of, let's take the First Amendment, for example. Our religious liberty was, of course, it wasn't invented by the Bill of Rights. It was just recognized and held sacred. But the concept of not having a state-supported religion that was that everyone, regardless of their belief system, had to ante up their money to do this, was what they were trying to avoid. Everybody could worship whatever they wanted and wherever they wanted and however they wanted. But in fact, Jefferson was so bold when he was talking of his Religious Liberties Act of Virginia in 1786 he said he considered himself kind of to be a religion of one because he had such a belief system that was so unique. I don't believe it was unique. I think he was focused on the words of Christ. At any rate, the idea that we weren't going to have a tax-supported belief system has been totally violated when we put together the Marxist 10th point of the Communist Manifesto, the point of the Humanist Manifesto, where we have this tax-supported faith-based belief system that is a belief system that does not believe in a divine God, does not believe in the creation for purpose and all that kind of stuff. It believes in the wisdom and learning of man. And it is a faith-based system, and the humanists that are honest are saying, yeah, it is a faith-based system, and in a sense, it is a religion. Yes, it is. It's become our national religion, a religion without God. And you're right, we have abandoned the high ground. We have turned our backs on the God that gave us breath, life, existence, creation, our Savior, I mean, everything. And what we do now is if you hold your mouth just right, fill out the right form, and turn it into the right bureaucrat, that's how we get our prayers answered. At least that's how many, in so many circumstances, whether it's a Pell Grant to go to college with, or some kind of food stamp situation, or some kind of program for housing, or the way our government here in a state gets transportation funds, or they go to education funds, or they get medical services. I mean, you can name almost any program that's out there, and it's our Savior really is government. Of course, we're looking now for some additional savers, the scientists and physicians and pharma companies and politicians and all of the bureaucrats and the celebrity endorsers that are telling us our Savior is in the jab, but that's another long story probably. So,
I'm convinced you have cancel culture on a worldwide scale. We're canceling our relationships with God Almighty. We're canceling the understanding that the founding fathers gave their very all for, which is God is in his heaven, and a nation can't rise without his aid, and that a nation can't exist without his blessings. And we've simply canceled that. We've canceled anybody talking about God. We've canceled the traditional God-ordained family, male and female created he them. God created the first marriage between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, Adam and Eve, ladies and gentlemen. And he did so because that's his fundamental unit of society. He did so because that perpetuates his plan to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. Okay, we're his children. And he's created the God-ordained family for success. And so then he created a free country, the United States, for liberty. And so I'm saying that we're starting to do this cancel culture thing where everything moral, everything right, everything honorable, everything good is being canceled on the altar of, quote, something supposedly better. We don't need the Constitution. What we need is a Article 5 convention. Let's rewrite this sucker. We can do better. You know, the founding fathers were a bunch of old, clueless guys. I mean, they meant well, but geez, Louise, they had a lot of problems. Let's rewrite this. We're throwing out everything that's fundamental to stability, to safety, to honor. And ultimately, we're turning our backs on God. And ultimately, it's going to be a Christian persecution fest. Because that's where they're aiming, ladies and gentlemen. This is a good versus evil, Christ versus Satan battle. And this war began in heaven and continues on the earth today. Let's be very clear. And the battle lines are being drawn right before your very eyes, so blatantly, so poignantly, that it's hard to even breathe when you really think about the size and the breadth and the depth of this thing, this battle that we're in. But it's about the cancel. They're literally engaging in the cancel culture on a worldwide scale. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Bradley, on Constitution Day, I thought this was worthy of discussion.
You know, you look at what Washington said in his farewell address, religion and morality are the pillars of our liberty and so on. And that was well understood. That was the basis of everything they did. They got their concepts of individual God-given rights out of the Holy Scriptures. But, you know, it wasn't, I mean, 100 years ago, it wasn't that far from the mark. I've read before, I think, on your program, Calvin Coolidge's statement, but I think it bears repeating today with the things that you've said. Coolidge was probably, arguably, certainly the best president we had in the 20th century. But here's what he said. Our government rests upon religion. It is from that source that we derive our reverence for truth and justice, for equality and liberality, for the rights of mankind. Unless the people believe in these principles, they cannot believe in our government. There are only two main theories of government in our world. One rests on righteousness and the other on force. One appeals to reason and the other appeals to the sword. One is exemplified in the Republic. The other is represented by despotism. The government of a country never gets ahead of the religion of a country. There is no way by which we can substitute the authority of law for the virtue of man. Of course, we endeavor to restrain the vicious and furnish a fair degree of security and protection by legislation and police control, but the real reform which society in these days is seeking will come as a result of our religious convictions, or they will not come at all. Peace, justice, humanity, charity, these cannot be legislated into being. They are the result of divine grace. I mean, he captured so much in those two little paragraphs that I think are phenomenal, and what we've lost in the last 100 years, and probably in the last 20 years, and maybe in the last 2 years. It's like it's in free fall. We're falling at the speed of gravity into our footprint, kind of like the trade towers.
Pray it isn't so, ladies and gentlemen, but 'tis true, sad to say, but we are celebrating Constitution Day, George Washington, September 19th, 1796. Religion and morality are necessary conditions for the preservation of a free government. Quick pause, Dr. Bradley, in seconds.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
And Dr. Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Constitution Day. We're talking about the Founding Fathers. And we're talking about the reality, ladies and gentlemen, that cancel culture is being implemented on a worldwide scale. George Washington, September 19th, 1796. Religion and morality are necessary conditions of the preservation of the free government. This is critical to understand, ladies and gentlemen. You know what? We cannot go along or get along without religion and without morality in the people, all right? And what we've done is we've jettisoned all these things, and then we wonder why things have gone astray. And then we continually search for answers, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And I submit to you that we're in a war that began in heaven that is continually being waged on this earth. It is the war between good and evil. God our Father and his Son Jesus Christ and Satan. And where do you stand in the war? As for me and my house, we choose the Lord. We choose the sacred cause of liberty. And what we need to do as a people is to repent and turn to God. Then we might qualify for his blessings. And then to do all within our power to promote God, family, and country. That's who we are. That's what we do. A lot of people want to make that a political statement, Dr. Bradley. But I submit to you, there are really no political discussions. There are only moral discussions. And I know people think I'm kind of crazy on that. Whenever I bring it up, they kind of ponder and they go, I'll have to think about that there. But there really are no political discussions. There's only moral discussions. Okay, things are based on principle, not on people, not on opinion. Okay, the world is based on principle and moral law. And when those are broken, it does not go well, ever. Never has and never will. When those laws are obeyed, blessings follow. That's the consequence of obedience to God's law. This is fundamental, and the founders understood this, Doctor.
You know, it's interesting to me, the old ancient saying, why halt ye between two opinions? I mean, how can we celebrate a Sodomite culture for a month and call upon God to bless us that we might have our drought mitigated or the fires in the West or whatever? It is just, such an offensive kind of thing. It's like we want to keep one foot in Babylon and then give lip service, if you will, drawing near to God with our lips and our mouths, but our hearts are far from him. And it's interesting that, I've got expansive statements we could read of the American Founding Fathers. And again, people may wonder, I don't know if they've ever thought of it, that I do seem to maybe be a little more verbose in terms of expansive answers. But I look to the explanations and depth and breadth where the Founding Fathers truly exposed great truths, and they sometimes took a little bit longer to say it. But if we had time and the interest, we could certainly expose some of those. I'll give you one brief statement, though, of an outsider that came here to America to see that the world was awestruck by America. I mean, by the 1820s, 1830s, it was like, holy cow, where did these guys come from? And a guy, a little French guy from France came here. His name is Alexis de Tocqueville. He wrote about us later, our country. He boots on the ground, our farms, our factories, our courts, our churches. I mean, he tried to see what America was about at every turn. But one of the things he wrote was, Americans send out ministers of the gospel into the new Western states to found schools and churches there, lest religion should be suffered to die away in those remote settlements. The rising states be less fitted to enjoy free institutions than the people from whence they emanated. Yeah, brief statement captured so much. Here's one he said. And the law permits Americans to do what they please. Religion prevents them from conceiving and forbids them to commit what is rash or unjust. Religion in America takes no direct part in the government of society, but it must nevertheless be regarded as the foremost of the political institutions of that country. For if it does not impart a taste for freedom, it facilitates the use of free institutions. They hold it indispensable to the maintenance of Republican institutions. The opinion is not peculiar to the class of citizens or to a party, but it belongs to the whole nation and to every rank of society. This was the America we came from, people. I mean, the American Founding Fathers, I mean, it was plowed deep into our soil, and it was bringing forth magnificent fruits. And the fact of the matter is that nowadays we think we're gonna make it without God. And truly, we need to reevaluate that. I'll give you another example. Back in the 1790s, I believe it was 1796, Timothy Dwight gave a 4th of July speech, and it was an expansive speech. Again, I mean, it was probably 30 pages of fine typed, but the basis of it was, how do we maintain in times of trial? And the principal point was honoring the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This was a symbol, a sign between God and his people. If we were truly a modern-day Israel, we had to be able to recognize the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You know, you read in Ezekiel chapter 20, or you read at the end of the book of 2 Chronicles, the importance of the Sabbath and how Israel only was able to remain free when it did that. This stuff, it's in our bones. It's in our hearts. It's woven into the very ligaments of our hearts, as Washington put his statements about our freedom. And yet today, we've turned our back on the very being that we owe all to. And we're going to have a comeuppance. George Mason, they didn't have the term abolitionist in his day, but he would have been considered such. He sat in the Constitution Convention of 1787, and he talked about how nations don't exist in the eternities. And consequently, they have to receive their rewards or punishments in this life. And I think that that has been demonstrated time and time and time again, that nations get blessed or cursed, if you will, according to the moral tenor of the nation. I left home when I was 16 and I traveled the country. When I was a teenager, I went from Florida to Alaska and from New York to California, and I saw this nation. I met the people. I was in their homes. I had meals with them, worked in their fields, and I came to love this country and the people in it. And there are good and wonderful people, but those that sit at the head of the government today have largely abandoned the foundation to the point that it's just not incompetence. I mean, it's just not stumbling and bumbling. This is purposely being done to destroy the very core and the heart of what made this nation what we were designed to be.
And the we're in trouble. The American people are tempted with bread and circus, don't have time for their God, don't have time for the traditional family, and pursue selfish interests. I mean, you bring it up very well, Dr. Bradley. Why do we support gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender history for a month, but we only have one day for the Constitution? And most people don't even know that it's Constitution Day and never will. I mean, if that doesn't articulate it well, I don't know what does. But Alexis de Tocqueville said this as well. The American Republic will endure until the day Congress discovers that it can bribe the public with the public's money. That's really poignant for modern times, isn't it, though?
Well, when you look at our $28.75 trillion admitted debt, it's far greater than that because of the unfunded liabilities that they're not willing to recognize. And then what's happening is we're trillions of dollars over the debt ceiling. Of course, nobody believes it. Nobody follows it. Nobody even gives a hang. But they're going to raise the debt ceiling and they're going to expand. It's kind of like they have some semblance of, oh, you gave us permission to rape you, so it's not rape. And it's like, no, it is what it is, regardless of what kind of spin you put on it. And the entirety of what is going on at the head of the government, I used to largely say 80% of what the general government does is unconstitutional. I think it's far higher today, and I picked the 80% number based upon the spending and so on that the government authorizes every year. But it's far higher than that. I mean, the sweeping, monarchical statements of power that are being set forth, it's a tragic travesty. And the fact that we don't have a generation of Americans rising up right now and saying, no, we will not stand for this. I think of the people, and we've talked about the Franco-Prussian War and the resulting Paris Commune in Paris. A bunch of communists, a conglomerate of communists were running the place. And how they were incompetent to govern and they were run out of town on a rail. That's where we are right now in America, right now.
The only problem is the conservatives and the Christians and those who would hold this country together based on sound principle are the ones being run out on a rail. Those who won't take the vaccines, etc., etc. Dr. Bradley with me. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable live on Constitution Day. Thank the heavens for the founders.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hey, USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Joint Chiefs of Staff Mark Milley accused of treason at the waning moments of the Trump administration by disregarding the chain of command spoke on the subject for the first time Friday. Milley said that calls he made to his Chinese counterpart were perfectly within the duties and responsibilities of his job. General Milley goes on to say such calls are routine and were done to reassure both allies and adversaries in this case in order to ensure strategic stability. Another Texas inmate has had his execution delayed over claims the state is violating his religious freedom by not letting his spiritual advisor touch him at the time of his lethal injection. Ruben Gutierrez was set to be executed on October 27th for fatally stabbing an 85-year-old Brownsville woman in 1998. Gutierrez was previously an hour away from execution in June of 2020 when the Supreme Court granted him a stay because of the same spiritual advisor complaint. USA Radio News.
According to research, 82% of people remember radio ads. That means that 82% of you listening right now will remember that this is an ad for ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, 82% of you will recall that ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And 82% of you will note that you can try ZipRecruiter for free today. But you have to go to ZipRecruiter.com/find. 82% of you will keep in mind that ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified people for your job and actively invites them to apply.
Is that you? Who are you talking to?
82% of you will also know that I, live with my mom. But the most important thing to note is that ZipRecruiter works. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Will you be part of the 82% who remember where you can try ZipRecruiter for free? It's ZipRecruiter.com/find. Again, that exclusive link is ZipRecruiter.com/find. That's ZipRecruiter.com/find.
Let's get an update on the rally to take place in Washington, D.C. this weekend. Chris Barnes has more.
The fence is back around the U.S. Capitol building and the National Guard's at the ready in case it needs to be deployed over the weekend, as police say they may need help with crowd control if things turn violent at a Saturday rally. As many as 1,000 demonstrators are planning to gather, according to police, to support the more than 600 people arrested in the January Capitol attack, the event's organizer calling them political prisoners and promising the rally will stay peaceful. Authorities say they're not taking any chances. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
There will be a press briefing by White House COVID-19 response team and public health officials today in the press briefing room in Washington. President Biden heads back to Delaware with stops in Dover and Rehoboth Beach. This is USA Radio News.
Ladies and gentlemen, I do want to focus on Constitution Day for sure. I do want to focus on the Founding Fathers and their leadership and the incredible foresight and insight they had and the sacrifices they made, no doubt about it. But I got to kind of mention this because they're pounding this in the news now. They say this, justice for J6 rally in D.C. this weekend. September 18th rally in D.C., and I look at this thing and I say it's disaster, ladies and gentlemen. Rallying in D.C. for the cause of liberty right now has no value. I'm telling you not to go. I'm telling you that it's nothing but a setup. That's what they did with January the 6th. Now you literally have congressmen and senators beating people up. They say it's fine that they protest. It's fine that they come. But now they're setting up fences around the Capitol. Buildings and stuff like that. They're going on and saying, okay, you know, you have a right to protest, but look, you don't have a right to spew your views about what happened on January the 6th. We know what happened. But ladies and gentlemen, I've already documented there's 14,000 hours of video that Judicial Watch is trying to get released right now. And they want us to believe that they know what happened because they paint the narrative, but yet they won't release the 14,000 hours of video. When January 6th happened, I had people on the air that documented the other side of the story very well. The mainstream press is lying to you. They're in bed with the media, who's in bed with the deep state, who literally created provocateurs who made this event into what it was. They had an agenda here, and peaceful people got caught in a trap. And we need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to jettison this J6 rally and weekend. It isn't justice for J6. That's not at all what it is. And you got to kind of wonder who's all behind this rally. Nobody in their right mind would go there right now, knowing full well we were betrayed last time, et cetera, et cetera. I'm telling you, it's a disaster. I wouldn't even think of going to something like this. Dr. Bradley, do you want to speak out on this too?
Well, I know so very little about what's happening right now. I do know that, habeas corpus and all those other kinds of things have been basically suspended. They've tried to make this January 6th situation turn into a Reichstag fire of February of 1933 under Adolf Hitler, an expansion of government totalitarian control. They are attempting to make, well, it's, I often say, a nothing burger something. And they're not done with it. That's what I'm really, really suspicious about and very concerned about, because a lot of times escalation and they'll not let another disaster or perceived disaster go without further leveraging the tyranny. I could tell you stories about some of the things that happened back during some of the demonstrations back during the moratorium on the war during Vietnam, and how U.S. troops were marshaled against other Americans. And, I mean, we're talking fixed bayonet kind of stuff. I mean, you know, and it's like, holy cow, what is going on? It's people that just power and tyranny go hand in hand, you know. So it sounds like it could be a real disaster. It could be a formula for an awful lot of further acrimony and maybe some further justification for more tyranny in the nation. But I don't know. Holy cow.
Well, here's what I find interesting. You hear this justice for J6. That doesn't sound like a name patriots would come up with, first of all. Secondly, you know what? Who are the organizers behind this? I mean, when you take a Sam Bushman, a nationally syndicated talk show host, got my ear to the ground 24/7. You take a Dr. Scott Bradley, again, got his ear to the ground 24/7 on this thing. We don't have any idea who these people are. Who the heck are Justice for J6? They say up to 700 people to protest, don't wear Trump signs and memorabilia. Who are Justice for J6 organizers? I mean, I don't even know who these people are, but they just materialize from nowhere and they want to lead the parade. The founders warned about this too, Dr. Bradley.
Well, you know, we do have an awful lot of the rabble in the streets nowadays that are fomenting destruction. I mean, look at with Antifa and the Black Lives Matter and the George Floyd stuff and the whole last summer, a year ago, that everything was looking like revolution was coming our way. And you know, it's interesting, that's exactly what happened when the Communist Manifesto was brought forth back in 1848. Marx and Engels had been given a deadline to have it done. There had been professional agitators and revolutionaries and planners that had been working all across Europe for literally years to this time in the spring of 1848, where they were going to use the publication of the Communist Manifesto as the trigger to have these uprisings across Europe. And they weren't spontaneous uprisings. They were well planned, and they were, you know, something that they were attempting to overthrow the existing governments. That's what communism's about. And the conflict, the confusion, the issues between, you know, rich against poor, men against women, elite against unelite, you pick anything. They'll take any fight they can, because this kind of conflict is what they hope to bring about, to destabilize society and ultimately and finally overthrow the existing government form. And so anyway, that's what happened when that was published, and they were hoping everybody would say, oh my goodness, this was a pent-up demand. Oh, look at this. Everybody's ready to do something different. They all fizzled, okay, but there was a lot of bloodshed, a lot of destruction and all those kind of things. But that's how communists always do things. And so I'm a little bit concerned that this process that's being implemented now has its smacks of a Marxist flavor, because that's how Marxism has always done it.
And the term they use, justice for J6 rally, that really sounds like socialism. People put this together. Now, here's the interesting thing. So here's my headline. Justice for J6 rally in D.C. this weekend. Don't attend. Who is Matt Brainerd? All right. This Matt Bernard or Brainerd guy is supposedly a, you know, campaign organizer for Donald Trump. That's where he got his fame. So he kind of came out of Johnny Come Lately. And now he's supposedly the brains behind the organization behind whatever this thing. He's the exec director of like Look Ahead America or something like that. And now all of a sudden he's like in front of the train. It reminds me of why is this guy all of a sudden? Hey, and so people say, don't go to the rally. We're concerned about the rally. He brushes off all the concerns, said this is no problem at all. But who is this guy? Okay, these people just materialize out of nowhere. And then the American people just jump behind him and trust him. I wouldn't go to this rally because I don't know who these people are and what their intentions are at all. All right? I'm saying don't attend. And so I really want people to understand. I'm not saying you don't have the right to peacefully, express your views and peacefully assemble. You do. But this idea that we're going to protest, this idea that the cops are already gearing up for kind of a riot scenario or whatever else, I mean, I don't know if it'll go peaceful or not, but I know this. There's no value in going there at all. What are they even advocating for? Okay, Judicial Watch has got it right. Let's get the 14,000 hours of video and find out what really went on there. But going to the Capitol and protesting is just baiting, in my opinion, the mousetrap, Doctor.
Well, you know, it's interesting that that we do have a methodology, and you're talking about 14,000 hours of videotape. It can happen in a non-emotional kind of a review of the facts, if you will. That's kind of what supposed to be a court, you know. You're supposed to be able to have an unpeeling of the onion, if you will, in a setting that allows the truth ultimately to be exposed. And if people keep throwing, you know, riotous everything's in there and attempts to get the habeas corpus suspended and all that kind of stuff, and more noise, and nobody ever gets to the bottom of anything. And I it may be just simply and fully and completely another distraction that gives an opening for somebody to drive a truck through that says, yep, we got to shut these babies down. This is, we got to declare some kind of insurrection thing or something. I mean, it's fraught with some danger. So, you know, we need to unpeel the onion in an unemotional state and get to the bottom of it, get the facts. Unfortunately, sometimes when they claim to be unpeeling the onion, you don't get that when you have your 9/11 report that overlooks the 2,000-pound elephant in the room on so many things. You say, no, we need some true, honorable, honest expansion of understanding through a reasonable investigative process.
Yeah, so, no Warren Commission reports, huh?
No. Or Gulf of Tonkin things, all that kind of stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, It is Constitution Day today. We're celebrating it. We love and appreciate the Founding Fathers and all they've done for us. I hope we carry the legacy forward by doing as they did. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, who the heck is this Matt Brainerd guy? When somebody jumps ahead of the parade and you don't know who they are, look out, baby.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I go ahead and check out Look Ahead America website. Matt Brainer is the executive director, and they do have a leadership tab here. You say Matt Brainer is the executive director of Look Ahead. This is the guy that's leading this, quote, rally in D.C. They say he's the former director of data and strategy for the Donald Trump campaign. He drafted and executed a strategy of targeting, quote, low propensity voters who had a high affinity for President Trump. He is the president of Brainer Group, a political and digital strategy firm. He has worked for over 100 federal and state and municipal candidates and many national advocacy organizations and nonprofits. He previously worked on messaging and on surveys for Frank Luntz. He was a, quote, senior redistricting and election administration analyst. And election data services, and served for three election cycles in the Republican National Committee's political analysis department. Prior to joining the RNC in 1996, Matt was a field coordinator for Buchanan for president. After the 2020 general election, Matt founded and led the Voter Integrity Project, digging into illegal ballots and other election anomalies. Anyway, they go on. But all I'm telling you is that's this guy. And I look at that and I say, you know what? You're in big money. You worked for over 100 candidates and you've been involved in the RNC since 96 or whatever it is. I'm kind of going, I don't know. This is really a swamp monster that seemed to gravitate towards the Donald, it seems to me. But I think he's throwing caution to the wind. And I think, again, some of these people that forge ahead with these things, all I'm saying is they lose the better part of valor on this thing because they're putting people in harm's way. And if we're not careful and something goes wrong, then all it does is set the stage for us not even to be able to peacefully assemble. We need to be very cognizant about this, ladies and gentlemen. And they've set the stage to create traps all over. It's a very difficult day in America on Constitution Day as we celebrate, what did you say, 234 years?
That's correct.
Man, it's fraught with peril, sir.
You know, kind of circling around, if you will, back to the theme we started off with on the magnificence of this. I mean, I think that we do need to kind of recalibrate our minds to understand the depth and breadth of what was there. James Madison, you know, considered the father of the Constitution for a lot of very good reasons, and he was very eloquent in his defense of the Constitution and brilliant in his ideas of limited government, checks and balances, and delegation of power. And he got a lot of these things from, you know, the writings of Montesquieu and Locke and Blackstone, and the biggest part of all of this came out of the scriptures. And when Montesquieu, Locke, and Blackstone were quoting scriptures, that's where these things all came from. I mean, it was all tied back to the godly things. But it's interesting in the Federalist Paper, number 37, again, these were written to help get the Constitution ratified. Madison wrote of the hand of the Almighty in the victory of the Revolutionary War and in the bringing forth of the new Constitution. And we could talk about some of these things, how they went forward and were tied in with proclamations directed by Congress and the President and everything like that. But here in the 37th Federalist Paper, he gave, you know, the glory to God, if you will. He said, the real wonder is that so many difficulties should have been surmounted, and surmounted with a unanimity almost as unprecedented as it must have been unexpected. It is impossible for any man of candor to reflect on this circumstance without partaking of the astonishment. It is impossible for the man of pious reflection not to perceive in it a finger of that almighty hand which has been so frequently and signally extended to our relief in the critical stages of the revolution. So not only did we get through the revolution by the hand of God, but we got this Constitution. And that is truly what they believed. And we need to understand they continually turn back to that. And I think, demonstrate the concept of the freedom of religion and the how inextricably interwoven God is in this nation by a proclamation that was required by Congress as the Bill of Rights was brought forth and sent to the states, and it was sent to Washington, and he brought it forth on the 3rd of October and recognizing the hand of God in the founding of this nation. I mean, this stuff, I mean, I wish there were time for our family, every Thanksgiving at least, we read over this Thanksgiving proclamation that Washington sent out on the 3rd of October for the day of Thanksgiving and prayer to be recognized across the nation. But what's interesting is that the Congress that had just barely passed the proposed amendments that became our Bill of Rights, so this freedom of religion thing that some people say, oh, no, that means you got to be adversarial to God and religion and everything as a nation. No, those people that passed that and sent them out for ratification to the states, those exact same people immediately passed a resolution requiring George Washington to send out a proclamation that the nation spend a day in fasting and prayer in recognition of the hand of God for their good. This stuff was the nation steeped in this. And for us today to think we're going to make it without God, I think we're barking up the wrong tree, and we're going to find we got to come up and it's coming.
Well, you got to pray hard. You got to work hard. You got to do all that you have control of, ladies and gentlemen. And then what you've got to do is trust in God Almighty. Because otherwise, it just becomes a discouraging situation where you feel like there's no hope, ladies and gentlemen. I want to refer you to the book by Ezra Taft Benson called The Constitution, A Heavenly Banner. The Constitution is indeed a heavenly banner and is the divine blueprint for civil law upon the earth. It's important for us to take the time to be acquainted with this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we're talking about. The Constitution, I believe to be a heavenly banner, Doctor.
Well, I'm absolutely in concord with that. I believe that it's the basis of established mortal government. And now, of course, God's the author of government, honestly. God established justice and mercy and all those kind of wonderful things in all eternity. And the manifestation of his will was recognized in the scriptures, and those that thought about these things saw, as the Renaissance came forward, they saw the magnificence of his creations through telescopes that had never been used before, microscopes that had never been used before. They saw order, they saw purpose. And it spoke of a hand of a creator. And so this was kind of a bringing to fruit. The ground was plowed, if you will, in order to prepare for the Constitution. I mean, the settling of the Pilgrim Puritans and the bringing forth of the concepts of liberty and self-government and these ideas of awakening. You know, we talk about Locke and Montesquieu and Blackstone and others. And the religiosity of the people, all of this brought forth concepts of God-given rights, which were then canonized, if you will, in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. That's a creator. That's God. They're endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. They mention a few, and they say it's the purpose of government to secure these rights, and the consent of the governed is required in that. And we could talk at length about all of these things. It is so astounding to me that we have forgotten these fundamental truths and these principles upon which everything we cherish hinges. Everything virtuous, lovely, of good report and praiseworthy, everything that has meaning and purpose and basically goes way beyond the base and crude things that everybody, not everybody, but many seem to be pursuing today. All of this stuff came together in a constitution. You know, these principles of being created and having inalienable rights and everything, that the promise was the Declaration. And 11 years later, the Constitution was written to deliver those promises. And they've vouched them safe and protected them and held them sacred. And the Bill of Rights was added to that to make certain that there was no misunderstanding, you know, the further clarification, so there could be no misconstruction. These things all were part of a series of events that, you know, it's like, oh, I didn't all come forth at once. Well, it's kind of like you got to clear the sagebrush before you can plow the ground. You got to bring the water in to irrigate. You got to plant the seeds. You got to be
all
able to...
All things in order, ladies and gentlemen. That's
they
for
are.
Sure. I also want to mention a more perfect union. America Becomes a Nation. That's a 1989 American feature film dramatizing, ladies and gentlemen, the event of the 1787 Constitutional Convention. It was put together by Brigham Young University to commemorate the 200th anniversary of the 1787 Constitutional Convention. This is important. It's a great movie, A More Perfect Union. So I'm going to mention the book, The Constitution, Heavenly Banner, and the movie, A More Perfect Union. Find them both because it will give you a reverence for and appreciation of and gratitude regarding the work that went into the greatest country on the face of the earth and the supreme law of the land that governs it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be very clear. The Constitution is a heavenly banner, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? The Constitution is indeed a heavenly banner and is the divine blueprint for civil law upon the earth, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be very clear. We want to highlight that home, bear our witness that Jesus Christ is at the helm of our liberty, and the Constitution was put in place to usher in his reign when the time comes. I don't know when that day will be, but I pray for it and I work towards it, and that's how sacred this is, Doctor.
Well, you know, a lot of people today, they think that government revolution and rabble-rousers and all that kind of stuff, the founding fathers couldn't have been any farther from that. They were well-seasoned diplomats. They were individuals that loved God. They were individuals, and that's a lie, by the way, that they were deists and all these other nonsensical atheist kinds of things. They had a very, very sound godly heritage. And these are the individuals that brought it forth in solemnity. And that's, by the way, one of the things that I enjoy about that video, More Perfect Union. You get a kind of a flavor for the depth of their caring and how disappointed they are when sometimes it seems like things aren't going like they should. And you know, when Ben Franklin said, if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his knowledge, is it probable an empire can arise without his aid? They were worried about pleasing God and how God had to have a hand in this whole thing. It's fascinating to me. It bears further review.
And as we should, they were very concerned about their status before God, wanting to repent, wanting to receive his blessings, wanting to obey his commandments. They made that very clear as well. So, ladies and gentlemen,
indeed,
we encourage you, and of course, that means us as well. We want to do the same as we carry forward their sacred legacy and honor them on Constitution Day. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. FreedomsRisingSun.com is Dr. Bradley's website. LibertyRoundtable.com is the site for the show. LovingLiberty.net is the site for our syndicated radio network. Donate, support us, do all that you can to spread the word. This nation shall endure. God Save the Republic. Happy Constitution Day.